Hello, and welcome back to SoulSpeak. This is Sheldon Pisnat, I'm your host, and in this session, we're talking with Ken Elliott about the cutting edge of manifesting. We're talking about how your thoughts are actually creating form in real time. For 15 plus years, Ken Elliott has examined and learned how our thoughts actually take form to create what we are thinking. His book is At the Cutting Edge of Manifesting and the New Information That Changes Everything. The book's called Manifesting 1-2-3, and you don't need number 3. And it's not your ordinary manifesting or law of attraction book. It's based upon his experience of actually seeing in real time how the mind creates form, and it's what he would call the go-to manual for creating anything. Hey, Ken, how are you? Welcome to SoulSpeak.
I'm doing great.
What got you into manifesting? You know, what's your background? What's the story? What makes your take on something that's talked about a lot so different?
Well, I'm totally qualified to talk about this because I had no experience at all. I'm just some regular guy just going through life. And I came in contact with a couple of people who have incredible access to information. One of them is William Buhlman, B-U-H-L-M-A-N, and he's the foremost author and teacher on how to go out of body. The other one is Judy Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N. I met Judy first. She's someone that was highly recommended to me, very, very gifted, beyond the pale gifted. And in the course of talking with her early on, I learned a lot about her many, many gifts. And one of those gifts was that she can see thought. Well, what I got was that a friend said, if you send her something in thought, she will get it. And I went, what the heck are you talking about? You know, I knew a lot about ESP and psychic this and that. But this was something that was way out of the box. And so for about 15 years, I would send Judy just different objects and thought. I was just playing around. I didn't connect this to anything other than just I had a good friend who was quite gifted, and I could get a little bored, and I could send her a bouquet of flowers. I could send her this thing or that thing and call her up later, and she would tell me what I'd sent. She could see what I had sent in a form on the spirit side. It wasn't a fully formed object, but it was formed up enough that she could tell me what it was. And then going to William Buhlman, a short time later, I became acquainted with him. We became very close. And out of the blue one day, just in a sideline conversation we were having, he said, sometimes when I'm on the other side, I see, he didn't say it's a special place, but he will sometimes be in a place where he can see everything that's on his wish list, and he was a wish list maker. He could see everything on his list in various stages of formation, just lined up and arrayed side by side. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, if I've been thinking of something for a short time, it's my wish list, and I see that thing every day, and I touch it, think about it. If it's been there for just a few days or a week, there's this wisp of smoke that represents that item on my wish list. On the other side, and we can't see this from a physical plane, although I know three people who can that help verify all of this, we would say when he's out of body over there in the spirit realm, the astral plane, those things you want to call it, you have a knowing. So that wisp of smoke is, it might be a concept like happiness or a job, or it could be a new refrigerator, it could be an object. So he hasn't been working on it very long, so it doesn't have much or any form at all. But something he's been working on a daily basis for a week, a month, it takes on more and more form. It gets more and more physical, or I should say more and more solid. It takes on a blush of color. And then it gets so 3D, so physical over there, that he says it's coming over into the physical world. And that, my dear friends, is how everything is made, unless it was an act of God, random chance. Everything we've ever invented was a puff of smoke first. And I like what Galileo said. All truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. And I didn't discover this. I just got this out of conversation. I went back to Judy, who's on the other side every night. William's very adept. He goes out of body a lot. Judy goes out of body every night. And I said, here's this thing that William told me about how the thoughts take form. Is that true? She said, yeah. I said, well, why do you tell me? She said, well, you never asked me. This is a foundational piece of information. It just lights my rocket. And, you know, we had been making assumptions about manifesting. And, hey, I'm all for people who encourage people to pray, make wish lists, make vision boards, ask, you know, just however you do it. Because when you are putting that thought out there, you are building form. And once you know that, and you really know that, you're probably less inclined to give up on this. It's kind of like I'm looking at a wall socket over here. I'm not going to sit here and wish and hope that somehow I can get my appliance to work. I need to, say, cut my hair with a trimmer or something. And I'm not going to sit around and wish and hope and try to manifest a haircut, which I can do. But, you know, now that I know that there's a wall socket, heck, I'll just plug that thing in. You know, I'm going to connect this to what works. And it's so simple. If you are simply repeating a thought, it starts to build. Now, if you want to add gratitude to that, it will build faster. And thoughts don't judge. And we can get to that fear later. But you just got a secret to the universe, a key to the universe. I have no ego about this. This is not my book. I was given all this, and I'm passing it on to you. But with this, we can do anything. And everything that's ever been invented in this world on purpose was a puff of smoke first. And now you know everything you need to know to just get out there and really improve your life. And you could also have a clue on how you built where you are so far. You may not like your situation, but you can change things starting now.
You know, I love that wisp of smoke. I was going to say metaphor, but it's not really a metaphor. It's an image. To me, I guess it's metaphorical. For me, it's like this feeling I get when you're talking about that, or while you talked about that, was it's like not so much smoke, is more of like a cloudy, murky, you know, foggy. Like it's just taking shape, so it's just still foggy. It's still foggy, mm-hmm. and with mm-hmm. more concentrated thought, then more clarity, color, more tangible shape and size, and all of that detail comes in. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yes, and you know, I just love this, and thank you for bringing that up. This is a real inside ball how things work conversation. You don't get this all the time. This just hasn't been out there. And I asked William, we're sitting outside, we're having lunch at this wonderful place, and there are these clouds up above us. And I said, well, so these vapors, this fog, this puff of smoke, whatever you want to call it, well, it's not really a puff of smoke, this wispy thing. If you have something like, it's conceptual, like happiness, well, what does that look like when it's fully formed? And he pointed to a fully formed cloud. You can clearly see the outline of the whole thing. And next to it was a more wispy one that the wind had whipped, and it was just strung out and didn't really have much of a shape. He said, a fully formed concept looks like that fully formed cloud. And when you're on the other side, you know exactly what that object, that fully formed looking cloud thing, represents. But if you're doing things, then they take that form. And I was just amazed by that. And I told him something else, because I was thinking about doing this book, and I wanted to run this by him because he's an eyewitness to this, and so was Judy Goodman. So I was going through some stuff, and I had picked up something from Andy Dooley, bless his heart. I really like the work he's doing in manifesting, and I don't know where he got it. I think it was out there in the literature from what I could tell, but nonetheless, he is a big proponent of telling people that your thoughts can create the future. Now, if there was ever a bonus, there is one. Your thoughts can create the future. So we're just talking about, well, I want to, one of these days I'd like to get to Paris, or I want to go over here, I want to have this experience. the number one of the manifesting 1, 2, 3, once you understand how this works, I mean, that's a very big deal. Well, let's go to work on this. And the most efficient thing you can do, the smartest, most efficient thing you can do is, and I call it a movie, you have different scenes in your movie. And in that movie, you're in your future. And you imagine in your future that certain events have happened. Some might be very specific, some are very general. And I categorize that. My number one scene in my movie, and I'm just sitting on the couch in my future, doesn't matter when, and I'll just make this observation, and I'll say exactly this. I'm in my future, and in my future, I have perfect health. And I'm so very grateful. Now, I just took a thought, and I'm going to say this every day, so it will build it. And when I put gratitude behind that thought, it builds it more efficiently, quicker, stronger, and I don't have to try to figure out how to visualize an absence of hospitals and ambulances and stethoscopes. I'm in my future, and in my future, I make the observation that I have perfect health. That's the remarkable gift that we have.
Is that what you refer to as the, as your movie, when you put, when you see yourself in the future?
Yeah. So I did have different scenes in that movie. And, you know, if you want to specify, then, okay, you're in a chair at a resort and you're sipping a fruit drink or your favorite Mai Tai, whatever it is, and you can hear the wind and feel the waves and, you know, the whole thing. You specify all that stuff. And I've done that. But I've learned to be less and less specific about a lot of things. And it, you know, it's all in the book. You know, I encourage people to go to my newsletter. It's free. We don't have enough time to get into all of this, but this information is so simple, we're going to touch on all of it. But in those newsletters, it's there for free. You can go to the website. It's manifesting123.com. Other interviews that last longer, I give it all away. It's not mine to keep. And I get wonderful stories and put out a new one every Friday. And it just lights my rocket. It's very encouraging for other people. And once people get this, they're less inclined to let it go. You know, I've lectured in front of a lot of people, and I often ask this question: how many people have seen The Secret, which was a tremendous movie with a lot of people about manifesting? And, you know, made a big wave. Tens of thousands, millions of people. Tens of millions of people saw this thing. And it's always the choir. So, you know, 98%. Well, I had 180 people in a room not long ago. And I ask it backwards. How many people have not seen The Secret? And I got about 12 hands. And then I reverse the question another way. Of all the people that have seen The Secret, how many people still do the techniques? I got about a dozen hands of people who still do. Why would you keep doing something that you can't see a result of? Why would you keep pounding away at this thing when you don't get the sense that anything's happening? Well, once you know that, you know, you can plug this thing into the wall outlet, or you can go over there and hit the light switch, it's plugged into the circuitry, it's going to do something. That gives you a new meaning to this. And again, you know, I can't stress it enough. When I look at New York City, all I see are trillions of puffs of smoke, these unique and original ideas that meld and form and get together and get construction companies and investment people and bonding agencies and banks and these skyscrapers coming out of the ground. It's fantastic. But it starts with that singular idea.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks for bringing up The Secret, because that was my segue into the obvious question was, how does the law of attraction integrate into this reality or this truth that our thoughts are building form on the spirit side first? How does the law of attraction integrate into all that, into manifesting in general?
Well, good question. A law of attraction is a beautiful line, and people can get a handle on that thing. They give us a sense of how this thing works. But I'm not going to say I disagree with it. It's kind of a distraction in a way. No, that's too big a word. That's too harsh. The law of attraction is a fine thing, and whatever brings people into this is fine. But your initial, the thought is key. That single thought is core. And once you have that and you repeat that, it will build on its own. It doesn't have to track anything. Are things attracted? Yes, absolutely. But there's more to it than that, and something that underpins that that's more basic. People are having, they're doing this manifesting technique where they go in their future, and all these wonderful things are in their future. They never had a movie scene where they specifically said, I'm happy. And I get calls from people. I've had a couple of these. People call me a little early in the morning on this thing because they're so excited. They said, I woke up and I instantly knew I was happy. I haven't been this happy since I was in school. And I know it's permanent. And they say, and they have different things that happen. And they say, I know it's permanent, which is a spectacular thing for someone to repeat, these different people. Because I don't have it out there at the time where they'd ever heard anybody say that. And what's happening there is there was no law of attraction involved. They had these different scenes in their movie. And in all these scenes, of course, they're happy. They're not building a future where they're, you know, scared or frightened. And they're waking up with this happiness. It's a side effect of all these scenes in their future. There was no law of attraction involved. It happened in the middle of the night and they woke up with it. Now, on the other side of the law of attraction, if you are, say, you're going into your future and you are building your perfect career, then things might be attracted to you. If you have a number of things in different scenes of your movie, my recommendation is you have now made yourself a target. You are creating these things, but it won't all come through the front door on a UPX box. You've got to get out there and move around so these things can find you. So, yes, there is the attraction element. And then there is also the things that can just happen internally. And that is actually more core. It's that initial thought.
Yeah, well, you know what's coming forward for me is, as we are, you know, first of all, I find that the I am statement, the I am presence, is a real testament to what you're talking
yes.
about here. I mean, that is the quickest way, in my experience, that we really live in the present and the future at the same time in the past. And you know, I have people sometimes if people are when I work with people are kind of stuck, and I might have them just go through 30 seconds of I am feeling, and then whatever it is that they want to feel, ideally.
Yes.
And sure enough,
yes.
they will create that feeling state right away and that future.
Yes.
And
yeah.
what I'm seeing with law of attraction here is how one of the ways it integrates into this conscious creation of literally creating on the other side first and coming forward is that, you know, when we have, let's say, some psychic energies that are in the unconscious, that the moment we might go into, and this is maybe, you know, I'll base this in my experience, that the moment I go mm-hmm. into seeing myself, let's say, really out there, being seen in a very big way, yet also in that wonderful space of vulnerability and peace, there might be part of my unconscious that's coming up going, wait a minute, you know? So we can attract only and create perhaps only as well as we become all of our parts psychically are working with us to create on the other side. In your work with people, you know, do you get what I'm talking about here? How does that fit in to creating?
I don't think it's that complicated. If you have a block, guess what? You can go to your future, and in your future, you don't have that block.
Mm.
Now, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But
can
create anything.
I love that.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if I'm fearing something in my future, I observe I don't have that fear.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that might be. And you don't have sound effects in the show, but I just had it go off in my head. It's like when you said the I am statement. I just wanted to be able to go to the console button and go, boom. some kind of huge sound effect, because on the boom, let's do it again. So on the other side, thought happens instantly. This is a slower, denser reality. This is our call to school, if you like, or training ground, whatever it is. And things don't happen instantly here. We have to make things. We have to get together with things. We have to, you know. On the other side, if you want a glass of water, you just say, glass of water in my hand, and it's there. Everything you think over there is a command. It's a command. And when you say, I am happy, you just commanded happiness. Now, it's a little slow going to get that thing to trickle through here, and it takes some repetition, this and that. That there are times when you feel that going right in. It's like you get that drink of cool water. You can feel it going down your chest. That I am statement is the ultimate command.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Let's extrapolate that a little bit. Everything you think over there is a command. Why is that?
Yes.
In your opinion.
That's the way it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it's set up. Now, here's an example. There are group constructs. Everything's a construct here. Everything's a construct over there. Mm-hmm. And so you go up to this building, and it's some Grecian important place of learning or celebration or something, and you decide you want to paint that thing blue. And so you let out the command, I don't like this old-looking marble thing. I want this to be sky blue paint. It's not going to happen because that's a group construct, and there are tens of thousands of hours, man hours, in building that construct, we'll say. Now, so your command is weak compared to that total amount of time put into that thing. But you can do things for yourself, glass of water, be in Spain, go to the dark side of the moon. Yes, you can do all that stuff. And it's also true here. Let's you and I get some paint. We're going to go to the White House. We're going to paint it whatever color you like. How about green? Good luck, buddy, because there's a lot of people who are all about keeping the White House white. We're not going to get anywhere near that thing with those buckets of paints, right? Because there's a lot of intention to keep us away from it. Well, it's the same here and there. But whatever it is that we're thinking, particularly if we're repeating it, it's a command. Now, here's the interesting thing about thought. And you can use it any way you want. Gravity is a natural law. I'm going to pick up this pen, and if I hold it out and let it go, it's going to fall to the floor. And gravity, being that it's a natural law, it doesn't think about and decide if I'm going to do something so-called good or so-called bad with that pen. It just lets it fall to the floor every time. And you can do good things and bad things with this law of gravity. With thought, thought is a natural law as well. Thought will not judge what you're going to do with the thought. So if you are repeating a good thought, and particularly put gratitude behind it, it will build that happily. If you have this thought that you're not worthy and you're going to get fired from this job and never get another one, it will happily, merrily make that thought for you too, particularly if you back it up with fear. That's the most efficient way you can make that happen. Two great forces of the universe, love or fear, pick one. That's love and compassion, and there's this fear, and it's a whole list of things that go with each of these, but it's just love and fear. They're just powers. And if you catch yourself repeating a fearful thought, it's in the book, What to Do with That. Take action on that fear. You can use that to your advantage. And it's in my radio interviews and all of that. We may be out of time to do that, but I do not want people to think that this is all about just living happily ever after and being rich and this and that. My real wish for you is that you are healthy and you're living comfortably and you are not in fear and you are loved and well thought of. And if you're in that comfortable place, guess what? Yes, you can go around the world all you want. You can have money in the bank, yada, yada, yada. But the thing that's going to fill your cup would probably be your kids, your family, and being in service to other people. And if we're struggling to get the bills paid, we don't have time to be in service to other people. So my wish for you is that you're well cared for so you can help the rest of us. We need all the help we can get.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, and if you have time, Ken, to stick around, I do to address that. That would be a big question, I think, dealing with fear.
I'd love to.
Great. So, yeah, what is that process then?
The process, specifically which process?
Well, you were alluding to, you know, how to deal with fear. If you are creating from a fearful thought, if you're energizing a fearful thought, you know, how can,
right.
you said we can use that to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you gave me this time. So this is the number two of 1, 2, 3, and you don't need number three. I'm going to skip ahead to number three real fast because it's so simple. We've all heard this. If you're in the choir, we're very, very big. We're very powerful spiritual beings. You do not have to be a perfectly well-tuned, fully aware, above average, special person to make this happen. You don't have to put on your Supergirl suit and be pure and go into this process. It doesn't matter if you are good at meditating. This is not a meditative practice. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. If we're all sitting around, we're all bank robbers, I would still be saying the same thing. We're all worthy enough to manifest things.
Because there's no judgment. As you said, no judgment in thought, or I would say no judgment in spirit. On the other side, there's just no judgment.
Yeah, no judgment. No judgment. So let's handle the fear. I couldn't finish this book until I could figure out the fear thing, and I did get the perfect house. It did come with a monthly bill, and frankly, I shot the moon, and the bill reflected that to some degree. So I'm getting kind of freaky the first time this bill comes due, and I couldn't figure it out, and my heart was literally pounding because I did go out and run up a little American Express, you know, because I got the place, so I'm going to get some stuff here and there, and holy cow, what was I thinking? What the heck was I thinking? And I'm going, where am I going to get the money for this thing? I had some in savings, but if I keep doing this, you're going to run out fast. So where's the money going to come from? I got something like 14 more days counting down, you know. And I couldn't figure this out. I had another friend, we're at the bottom of the housing market, and she was very successful, and it still is, in real estate. But if you're not selling houses, if nobody is, there's, you know, no income. And she was in a spot, and I put myself in a spot. And we're all about the number one. We can make anything happen. But we also know that this fear will create either an opposite effect. It will entangle our good thing that we're doing. Or it will make its own little negative thing on a separate track, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like you just manifested your perfect career. And now you're in the office, and you have this worry that, well, as soon as they find out about me, I'm going to get fired. Well, you can create both results. So I'm trying to figure out how to get this fear out of my system, off my back. It's just crawling all over me. And my heart is pounding. I'm only thinking about this 20, 30 times a day. And I know I'm creating this. So I'm slightly panicked, frankly. And I'm trying to work it out. So I'm using sports analogies. You know, the golfer swing through the ball, or the baseball hitter, you know, just try to make contact, make good contact, forget the home runs, just make good contact. None of that stuff is working. And I was off and on of this from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening. And I remember sitting on the couch and I just gave up. I don't have a university degree. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a trained therapist. I don't have any credentials or background to try to thread the needle on this thing. I just gave it up. And I didn't even ask for a solution, which I would do now. I'd be smart enough to just float that balloon. But my mind just went blank. And within, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds, I had this thought. I didn't hear it, but I had this fully formed thought that made no sense to me at all. The thought said, take action on your worries. Well, what is that cockamamie thing? That's like nothing. That's nowhere. And then it's like a paragraph followed. And it's simply this. So what's something you would be concerned about? What was bothered you now or in the past, Sheldon?
On the topic of just staying with what we do if we find ourselves in energizing fearful thought.
Okay.
Well, let's here. I'm going to reach into the audience field, and what comes forward is the same thing you're talking about: bills, money, scarcity.
Bills. Yeah, bills come around often. All right. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're wide awake. You're worried about making those bill payments. What are you going to do at 3 o'clock in the morning? You going to start calling people? You going to punch in? No. But if you're cycling around, you're worried about this, worried about, can't pay them. How am I going to pay them? Can't pay them. How am I going to pay them? You're creating that failure. Your thoughts will just happily do that. And you're loading up with fear, so it's even going into overdrive for you because your thoughts will just do what they do. You know, we have some great gifts. And this is one of our great, great gifts. And what are they? We can make life. We have life. We can create anything, and we can access any information. William Buhlman's a big proponent of that. Those are four of our great gifts. So one of these things where we can make anything is a spectacular gift. Well, life, all of these things are. So if you're repeating a thought, loading up with fear, it's going to make it without judgment. So here's how you take action on that. Get your smartphone, get a piece of paper, turn on the light, and we're going to run a list of things you can do to get out of this situation. Can I say, don't worry about it, counteract the fear? We're going to take action. Let's just leave it at that. So number one, call the boss, make an appointment, call the boss in the morning, think about how you can be more value to the company, and arrange a meeting to ask for that raise. You don't really understand. I'm not crazy about that, but it's a practical thing to do, particularly if you got some backup on how you can be more value. Another one, people might owe you money, all right? So you're going to contact those people. Well, if they had it, wouldn't you hope they would pay you? But go ahead and contact those people. What else? You might have a little business thing that you could grow on the side, some other idea that's percolating around. Take action on that. See if you can get something coming off of that. Call a mentor in your business. They've been here. We'll see what they've got. They might have some contacts. You could also go out and just go through the list out there and see if there's another better paying job opportunity. So there's a number of things that you can do when you get up in the morning. You can't do them all in one day. They won't return the calls. Maybe these ideas will half-bake. They have to grow a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've run the list as far as you can do it. Pat yourself on the back. You did good. You just didn't sit around and worry and cry and you know, just crack your knuckles and just have that inner scream going on. You went out and made some practical moves. You know, in this country, this is something that order of like a $10 trillion economy. It's okay for you to go out there and get your share, a little share or a big share. There's a lot of ways to get in there, but we have to put out a little effort to think about it. So it could be that mentor. It could be that raise. It could be that business. It could be you get a cash infusion. And in your future, by the way, you've done everything you can do. You've run your list for the day. And then in that morning or in the evening, you go into your future, please. And in your future, you don't have financial concerns. I didn't even use the word money. You don't have financial concerns, and you're so very grateful. And there is money, and there is the equivalent of money. We've all had that check come in the mail. We've all had that thing where we got the better apartment for less money. We've all had this thing where we didn't have to spend more to get more, or we didn't have to have money to get out of that financial jam. And you're going to work on that. And I started to say the universe. People talk about the universe. The universe is set up for you to input, and it will. You know, you put in the quarter's worth. I keep playing it like a little, you know, like, put a quarter in the Coke machine, you get a Coke pack. You put something in, it responds. And it's up to you. And yes, there is the prayer department. I've never had a tour of the prayer department. I've been over the other side a few times. I don't know how that works, but they're, let's just say they're on your side. And they may not be right on the dime, and sometimes they are. And we're all going to have hardship. nobody gets out of here alive. I don't know how that script's going to be written for all of us. But we do have the ability to make a lot of things. And it may be that we have the choice to have a life better than what we have, to be happier than we are. And this isn't just all about greedy self-worth. Again, my motivation is that everyone's cared for, and we have this abundance that we can share, coming from an easier, less harsh place. So take action on those fears, make those lists, execute the list, best your ability, and go to your future and manifest a scenario where you don't have that concern. I don't even use the word worry, concern. I don't use the word money. I'll say financial or the equivalent of money. It's magical, but it's our great gift.
Mm. Well, thanks for all that. Gosh, it's really a wonderful perspective, and I can't think of the word I'm looking for. I'll just call it a wonderful perspective and experience that you're bringing here to a lens to view life through. Really, it's life, and mm-hmm. that we can create anything. We do create the next version of ourselves. We really do, both in thought and action. And, what that version is can be anything. And so that's wonderful and practical.
Yeah. It's
practical.
All quite simple.
Mm-hmm. It really is all
yeah,
quite simple
practical.
When we come down to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating a list.
Practical is a great word.
Creativity. Going into creativity and saying, okay, well, I'll start with a list. That's what I can do at 3 o'clock in
yeah.
the morning. And then I'll go back to
yeah.
sleep and start on that list in the morning. And
yes.
that's wonderful. Absolutely. You can gain creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And be good to yourself. Ask for yourself. It's okay. You're worthy. If you believe you're worthy or not, ask for yourself anyway. It's okay. It's totally okay. Because there's no judgment coming from this. I like what William Buhlman said when he first explained that, you know, sometimes he goes to the other side. He goes out of body a number of times a week, and he sees the things that he's been working on, these thoughts coming off his wish list in various stages of formation. He said, I can put something on the wish list and go back over there in days, weeks, and I can see that thing beginning to take shape. He said, I'd be an idiot not to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, though, William's a special guy, right? He's an adept out-of-body teacher who's written a book, and Judy Goodman, she's very, very gifted. She goes to the other side. She sees all this stuff. I never had the inclination to do it for me because I'm not as special as they are. There's something in the back of my head that just say, well, don't even bother. Don't even bother, Ken. That's how average I am about this stuff. What a towering intellect I had to just not be able to add 2 + 2 and say, well, I'm going to try that myself. I didn't do it. And then it was years later, many years later, when I saw The Secret, somebody said, you got to see this thing. And after it was over, I sat back in the chair and went, oh, my God, I can use this for myself. Holy moly. And here's another thing. These people are talking all about this, and I understand and agree with what they're saying. But they don't know how it works. They don't know how it works. And that made all the difference in the world for me and my friends because we don't give it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's comforting and inspiring to be able to have confirmation of that our creative abilities, our conscious creation is actually taking shape outside of this dimension first. And it makes so much, like, it's such a resonating truth, isn't it? Because isn't that how, you know, a lot of the wisdom teachings, like the Bible, for one, talks about the creation happening. You know, first there was the Word, and then the creation. And it just resonates as a truth. And thanks, Ken. I will call time now. I'm glad we got time to get all that in because that was a great piece to add into this session. You spoke about your free gift. I'll talk about that again. That's on. If you just hit the button, claim your free gift on the page, that'll take you right to the manifesting123.com newsletter subscription. So you can sign up if you'd like and receive all this free stuff that Ken was speaking of, the free insights and stories. And I believe it's each Friday you put something out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And great. And what are you working on next? What's coming next for you, Ken?
Well, there's a new book that's sort of percolating. Now, I'm a full-time artist, so I'm always doing things every day in the studio. In fact, as soon as we get off the phone, I'll be down there creating some new paintings. And I'm not trying to promote my paintings, but some people will be curious. So it's just Ken Elliott, ELLIOTT.com. You know, I really want to thank you, Sheldon, for the great effort that you and Crystal put out to produce and put together and create this show. You make a big wave. And we lit some people up today. We energized some people, and I can't thank you enough. I think we both had a really good day at the office today.
I love it. We did. I hope you guys did too out there, audience. And again, thank you so much for being with us, with me and Ken, and this, you know, we're co-creating something. So let's do something a little different today. Let's close out this particular call. And by taking a moment to come together intentionally, support each other, and going ahead and moving into, close your eyes, and just ask your heart, what is that one thing that I'd like to create on the other side first and bring into my life here next? You know, whatever that one thing is, it's just trust it. And let's all come together. We'll do this individually, but we'll be doing it as a collective group so that we're really adding we're supporting everybody. Our intention is to support all of our creation of this heart's desire, this future version of ourself. So let's take a few minutes or a few moments. Just go ahead and see that version of yourself, of your life, knowing that it is taking shape right now as a fog. Maybe you've been doing this for a little while on this particular thing, so maybe it's a clear image on the other side. Maybe it's a bit foggier. Maybe it's that wisp of smoke. Maybe it's something new. Wherever it is, we're going to be adding some energy. We're adding clarity. We're adding form. And just keep seeing that. I'll share mine out loud since it's pretty relevant. I am seeing this soul speak. I'm seeing soul speak. I'm seeing anybody globally that can get any positive impact, any positive value, illumination, inspiration, hope, love, guidance, any positive impact that they are led to and magnetized to getting that, to coming here and getting that little piece, whatever it may be, or the big piece that makes a positive impact for them. So that's mine. I'll share that out loud. Thank you for your support. And I'm with all of you, too, in supporting your vision. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot, Ken. Great to have you here. Wishing you the best.
My great honor. Thank you. That was great fun. Thank you.